Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368.
Welcome, everyone, to the award-winning Red Blue Hoops on your WNIN 88.3. Give us a call at 812-426-7400, or you can tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I'm Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats, and joining me tonight as the voice for the Indiana Hoosiers is Chad Payton. Chad, welcome to tonight's March Madness show.
Oh, it's the greatest time of the year. I think it's Christmas in March, isn't it? So exciting. Been waiting for this for a long time. The season has flown by, though. It's unbelievable.
Well, we're repeating ourselves. I've told you the whole year that this year's been the fastest season of my life.
Me too. I agree.
In fact, we were at Rep Arena this past Saturday, looked at my wife and said, it seems like yesterday it was Big Blue Madness, you know, kicking off the season.
Yeah.
And here we are, senior day, and my goodness. But speaking of March Madness, it's already kicked in.
It has. Crazy games today already.
I mean, last weekend, we have a special guest coming up later. It's going to talk to us about last weekend.
Yeah, Coach Simmons is going to be on.
That's right. Aces Coach Simmons will be on later tonight. And today there's been some crazy upsets in the Big Ten and the SEC.
There has. Illinois beat Iowa.
Iowa, yeah. Hawkeyes.
Tailspin.
House of Cards.
It is. Tailspin. They do this every year. Yeah. We shouldn't be surprised.
No, you're right. That's a good data point there. But Tennessee Volunteers folks have caught fire in Nashville. Actually, two things caught fire. A building was on fire yesterday right before the tournament started.
Oh, man, that's not good.
A block and a half from the Bridgestone Arena. But the Volunteers have made some noise down there. They'd upset their in-state rival, the Vanderbilt Commodores, and that may have bounced Vanderbilt from the tournament. So Kevin Stallings, I'm telling you, he's got a reputation of flaming out.
Yeah, that's not good.
But anyway, folks, you can give us a call. Phone lines are open. I see the magic pens getting warmed up back there.
He's already talking to somebody.
812-426-7400 or
tweet us questions or comments at Red Blue Hoops.
So, folks, since last week, each of our teams have had a game. Chad, what happened to IU on Sunday?
As I predicted numerous times. Am I still Nostradamus? Can
you
I still,
are still
claim
Nostradamus.
That?
You're undefeated on Red Blue Hoops.
Undefeated. 5-0 on Red Blue Hoops.
So these other guys that preceded you, their record's not even close to yours.
They just didn't get it done.
They didn't get it done.
I mean, Ben, I'm sorry. They just didn't get it done, I guess. I don't know.
I love it.
No, it's exciting. It's been fun. It was senior day for IU playing Maryland, and it became really a coronation. I was a little nervous about it, but Indiana's always matched up well with Maryland, even last year.
Even last year.
They
yeah.
did. And really took control of the game. Max, Nick, and Yogi senior day for them. Actually, Ryan Burton, too. Assembly Hall was rocking. Ben Shoulders was there. He texted me. My buddy Wayne was there. He texted me, too, said it was an incredible atmosphere, which Assembly Hall always is.
So they let Ben Shoulders back in Assembly Hall
now?
They
let him in.
All right.
He told me he was going to get the win, and he did. So Indiana took a 41-28 lead into halftime, and really Maryland never got closer than 9 the rest of the way. IU shot 51% from the field, 40 from three, and only 9 turnovers. And
wow.
This continues to get better. And I've read so many articles that says Indiana's kryptonite is turning the ball over. And they've really held that in check the past 5 games. And with that, they're 5-0.
Well, Troy Williams is turning it over a lot less.
A lot of good Troy showing up, right?
That's right.
You're seeing that. So great win. Good Troy did show up. He had 23 points, was aggressive in the second half. Tom Crean said it looked like he was shot out of a cannon. It was the term that he used. And he did. He looks like that.
He did, man.
He plays with reckless abandon. So Yogi had 17-4. And basically, as I've said numerous times before, and I'll say it again, you rank him, Evan.
You all spank him.
We spank him.
Hall.
Thank you. You finished that.
I know.
That was good.
I've been hearing that for two seasons now, and it's starting to soak in. I tell you what, Chad, our phone line's lit up already. We have Geraldine the Cat. Geraldine,
already?
Welcome to Red Blue Hoops on our last show of the season. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Awesome.
Good, good. Got some playoff action. Getting ready to start up.
Whoa. Geraldine, time out. You're from Kentucky. You're a basketball fan. It's not called the playoffs in college.
Sorry.
They're called tournaments.
It's tourney time, baby.
Come on now, Geraldine.
I'm sorry. I've got a son-in-law Paul is like a football fiend, and so I still think in terms of that.
That's
so,
fair. Anyway.
You have a Super Bowl hang. Oh, you're still upset about Peyton Manning retiring, aren't you?
I'm not upset. I thought he did a lovely job. I'm happy for him. I think he had a fantastic career, and I actually am curious to see what he's going to do, because I'm sure he'll do something.
Oh, I heard he had a workout with Denver today. I'm joking.
Oh, really? It's a joke. What do you have for us tonight, Geraldine the Cat?
That's cool. Well, I had a quick question for you. I heard that one of the freshman players asked Coach Cal how the team could take that type of energy they have when they're rocking it out in Rupp Arena and recreate that when they're on the road. And I was just curious what you would suggest for that, Evan, if you think that's even possible, because there's nothing like Rupp Arena, I know, but if there's any way they can recreate that type of energy that they have when they're on their home court when they're on the road.
Sure, great question. And actually, Geraldine the Cat, Chad and I were talking off the air. Tomorrow night in Nashville at the Bridgestone, when Kentucky rolls in there just before 6 o'clock tip, there's going to be a crowd reaction that is going to be second to none. And the reason being is because the majority of the Kentucky fans that are down there are not your traditional season ticket holders in Rupp, which is sometimes a little bit of a quiet crowd. So tomorrow night, it's going to be rocking in Nashville. If we continue winning, it's going to continually to get crazier as the weekend goes along.
Absolutely.
And then as we roll into the NCAA tournament, as long as we don't get sent out west, our fans, without a doubt, will have the dominant presence in any arena that we play. So I think since these guys are freshmen, they haven't had a chance to experience playing tournament basketball for Kentucky. They'll see pretty quickly that we will have that energy in these neutral sites. So I'm confident about that.
That's right. I agree.
Game, believe it or not, tomorrow night, because I'm going to be celebrating the 87th birthday of one of my most favorite Italian gentlemen. So, but I will see
very cool.
Stay off all social media so I can watch it when I get home.
Well, hold on now. I know who you're talking about. So you're saying that they're not going to watch the game live?
Nah, I don't know. They might, but I don't know. I'm not going to force it's his birthday. It's his day. So
if they live in Kentucky and they're not watching the game, I question their character. I'm just kidding. No, thank you for the call, Geraldine. Really appreciate
it. You all have a good night.
Hey,
all
you too. Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, so any more info on IU spanking Maryland last Sunday for Senior Day?
A couple quick stats. Indiana's 18-2 in their last 20 games against ranked opponents at Assembly Hall. So that's impressive.
Wow. That is.
And then I went ahead and tallied the winning margin for IU in the Big Ten, and with the 18-point win against Maryland, that put it up to an 11 PPG winning margin in the Big Ten. That's pretty strong.
No, it is. That's
no matter who you're playing.
No, there's no question. No, and not surprised. I'm not the biggest Indiana fan in the country. I just don't really enjoy the squad. But I have to say, you guys have vastly improved since the Duke game. And I heard a rumor, in town, not confirmed, but from one of your fellow IU fans that is pretty well connected. That after the Duke game, Tom Crean changed his coaching philosophy just a little bit. In what I was told, involving his assistants a little bit more in the game planning, and also as the game is developing on the court. So that, I mean, you have to point back to that point in the season that
was a watershed
changed.
Moment for the team. Yeah. And Zeisloff pointed out too, that after that Duke game, Crean had a comment. He said, do you guys want to play for Indiana or do you want to play at Indiana? Because if you're going to play at Indiana, we're going to end up getting beat all the time. If you want to play for Indiana, we're going to share the ball. We're going to play defense and we're going to beat people. And that's what they've done. So it's been very exciting.
Okay, we're going back to the phone lines. We have Tomcat. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
How's it going, Evan? How you doing, man?
Oh, is this Tom from Nashville?
Yes.
Awesome.
Tom in Nashville, yeah.
Okay, I got you. They wrote Tomcat on the board. I apologize. So, hey, folks, for our listeners out there, this is Tom. He's reporting live from the SEC tournament in Nashville. Tom, give us a flavor of what's going on down there tonight.
Well, I'm live from right outside Tootsie's right now, and it's raining, but the Big Blue Mist has arrived.
Awesome.
Oh, man. That's Lexington South, isn't it? Don't they call it Nashville?
It is, yeah.
It's basically Lexington right now. It's absolutely incredible. All Kentucky fans, some Tennessee fans obviously sticking around after their big win over Vandy today, but it's incredible out here.
Well, that's fantastic. I can't wait to get down there and join you in that environment. So what's your prediction for tomorrow night's Kentucky game?
I obviously, I like the way the Cats are playing right now.
On my son-in-law's radio show.
The home games this year, they played better than the road games in neutral sites, obviously. But I think the Cats are going to win by ish points.
All right.
I like Kentucky. I think Sam's going to beat Ole Miss tonight.
All right, good.
We've beaten Alabama twice, so you know Rhett Nabohan's a great player, but at the same time, they don't have a whole lot of firepower outside of him. So I think Kentucky's going to get it done and probably play. Mississippi State's got a game against Georgia tonight. I think the winner of that game is going to beat South Carolina.
Strong analysis from this guy. Tom is on it, man.
I've known Tom for years, and he knows his basketball. He's from Northern Kentucky. Is that around Florence?
Right around Florence. Yep.
All right. So what's on tap for you down there tonight, Tom? The rest of the night, you going to the games or are you going to do Broadway?
I'm going to do Broadway. I went and watched Florida Arkansas, and I watched Tennessee. What a great game, Tennessee Vandy.
Sure.
Tennessee
good.
Squeaked it out at the very end, and that was an incredible finish. So I'm probably going to hit Broadway, go out to dinner, and just enjoy the rest of the night and get ready for game day tomorrow. It's going to be a great day. There's so many UK fans. I know it kind of goes without saying because that's just what we do. But at the same time, like I can't put into words how many UK fans are just walking the streets right now.
So City Hall in Lexington could be robbed tomorrow then, because
right.
Nobody's there.
It's like walking around Rupp Arena right now, honestly.
It's
pouring down rain here, but everybody's just having the best time ever.
I love it. I cannot wait to get down there. Hey, Tom, thank you so much for calling in. Give us a live update from the SEC tournament, and see you tomorrow.
Definitely, man.
Good luck. Be careful on Broadway.
All right.
Take care. All right. That's awesome. Well, Tom's a guy that no matter where I go following UK, I run into him. He's like one of these faces that just pops up I am, and younger guy and extremely energetic. And he's a guy that you can sit down and you can pull up a game in your memory bank and he'll know every stat, you know, one of those kind of guys. And I appreciate that call.
That's awesome.
So since last week, we had one game as well. We hosted the LSU Tigers on Saturday, and it was our senior day. And
you guys have senior day?
We
UK?
Do.
I had to throw that out there.
We do. I appreciate it. I understand why with Cal Perry's program being so successful and the kids going on.
I agree. But, I can't deny that. That's
but
true.
But this year I really enjoyed it because one of my favorite players, Alex Porthers from Clarksville, Tennessee, academic All-American. He graduated in 3 years with a 4.0 with a math major. He's now getting his master's degree. His family on center court with him at Rupp Arena, and then this young lady who's becoming a rock star, Marlena Van Hoos from Kentucky. She has a couple of disabilities. She's blind, and she's really small in stature, mm-hmm. but she has this voice that is unbelievable. And she sung the national anthem at the Cleveland Cavaliers during the playoffs last year.
I know what you're talking about. Absolutely.
So she sang My Old Kentucky Home before the game for Alex Porth. And the atmosphere and the emotion. It was really cool. But my favorite part, something they did differently this year, they had former players at UK that played with Alex send in some video messages to him. They played in the video boards. And Carl Anthony Towns, Aaron Harrison, and Kyle Wiltshire from Gonzaga.
Kidding. Very cool.
And, man, Aaron Harrison got all choked up about Alex.
He's been through a lot.
And so it's kind of a neat deal. But, hey, we played against the, you know, Ben Simmons and his Tigers, and we smoked them. It was 94-77. We could have rolled them by 30 or 40. Kentucky played extremely well. Jamal Murray, once again. But Tyler Ulis, 14 points, 14 rebounds. But the big story of the day was Scal, the BCA. We had 22 NBA scouts in the house.
Yep.
And one of the NBA scouts after the game said Scal punched his ticket to the lottery this year, folks. He had 18 points, 9 rebounds, 6 blocks in only 25 minutes. And some of those blocks were extremely rangy, covering a lot of space. One was on a breakaway, came up behind the kid and pinned it on the backboard. So Scal, these last two games, he's a different player.
Really, since we started talking about him,
it's again like the switch. Show. It's like the switch has been flipped, and if he can maintain even a percentage of that production, it changes our team. And Ulis had 14 assists, and a lot of it's because Derek Willis is back, and Sky was hitting these elbow jumpers, so the floor, Chad, was like the parted sea. And Euless was coming off those pick and rolls. But I have to – one caveat. LSU's not a very good defensive team either.
Right.
So
hey,
have,
still, though.
Yeah, it was impressive. It we notched our 47th conference championship. That was our fifth undefeated season under Calipari. Check this out. 5 undefeated seasons in 7 years, and we have a total of 13 in program history. So Cal's now 119-4 at home.
Was it death taxes and
Calipari winning at home? That's right.
Yeah.
So great game. We're going back to the phone lines. I think we're going to Lance in Atlanta. Is that right? Hello?
Lance, are you there?
Is anybody on the phone line? Talk to us.
Yeah, this is Coach from Murray.
All right, Coach, go ahead. Welcome to the Red Blue Hoops.
Well, Ben, I'm calling in from Newport, Kentucky tonight up here with my Murray High Lady Tigers. Where we're in the state tournament. We won our first game this afternoon against Louisville Manual. Getting ready to go back and look at our opponents for tomorrow night. And just want to call in and say hi to all the people from Red and Blue Hoops.
Sweet.
And
so the Murray Tiger girls team won a state tournament game today. Is that correct?
That's correct. Beat Louisville Manual, the number 3 team in the state. And we beat them pretty handily. But getting ready to go back and scout. They just cut me off.
No, we're here. You're still here, Coach.
All right. Later.
Hey, Coach. All right.
Still there?
Yeah, we're still here. I got a question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Is Murray Class A?
We're Class A. Our enrollment's about 420 kids, and I think the school would be today at like 2,200.
That's a David versus Goliath type situation.
Congratulations
there.
On the victory, man.
No, congratulations, Coach, and we appreciate the call. I tell you what, Chad, the first segment has flown by. We need
it's
to go
time.
To break, and we'll come back, take some more calls. May have a special guest
okay.
online. Red Blue Hoops, go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368.
All right, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops. We're going in our second segment of our last show of the season here, Chad. It's a little bit of March Madness here in the studio tonight.
It is. Feeling the flow, though. Bull dance, you know?
I tell you what, listeners, if you can't tell we're having fun, you must be dead. But I tell you what, we got some phone action going on back there. We got Maria. We got Samantha. We got the whole team in the house. We got Walker back here as the intern.
Walker is money back there interning for us.
Let's give us some updates on some tournament games there, Walker. Get some work done here. But while we're checking out the phone lines, we're talking about UK and beating LSU. But tell you what, this week has been the week of awards. They've been flooding in for
yep.
both Indiana and Kentucky basketball.
Yep, you're right.
I saw where, as we predicted, Tom Crean, Coach of the Year in the Big Ten. Is that
right?
Yeah,
very deserving.
Yeah.
Great turnaround.
No question about it. Tyler Euless, Player of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year.
That's incredible. And Farrell for Indiana was not Player of the Year, but first team all Big Ten and first team all defense.
Yeah.
So I felt he got a little bit slided on.
Okay,
Big
check
Ten.
This out. So he was all Big Ten defense.
Mm-hmm.
And Euless was Defensive Player of the Year. Both guys are under 6 feet tall. I mean, Yogi, what's his true height?
They list him at 6 foot.
He's
5'10".
He's 5'11". There is no way.
I agree.
But I think I sent this to you this week on email, but Tyler Euless, folks, check this out. He is the first player in college history under 6 feet tall to be a Defensive Player of the Year in a Power 5 conference. That's amazing.
He's a monster.
All right. I tell you what, folks, our special guest, Chad, I'll let you introduce him.
Coach Simmons, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Thanks a ton for coming on the show. It's an honor to have you on here. Very excited. I saw the game. I was over in St. Louis Friday and Saturday. We had to get back Sunday. I watched the game on TV, and you guys played so hard. That was a great run.
Well, I appreciate you being there Friday and Saturday. It means a lot. We're excited to have so many people from Evansville travel over to support the team, but as far as Sunday, we just got off to a very poor start, and we were pretty worried in the first half there. But our guys really going in down 14, we felt pretty good, you know, just the way the first half had gone. And we've really been a team that in the first 4 minutes of the second half, we've always played pretty good. And we got off to a pretty good start. Our guys just they did a great job fighting back and ended up being a great game. Obviously, the result's not what we wanted, but we were awfully proud of the way our guys fought.
Yeah, I thought especially at that, those last 2 or 3 minutes, like Ballantyne was playing his tail off. Everybody was, but they made some nice plays there. I've never seen a brick game winner like that. I've never seen one like that. Have you ever seen something like that where it went in like that from that? It was like an 18-footer.
From straight on. But, yeah. 1999, we played Missouri State when Steve Alford was the coach there.
Yeah.
And Marcus Wilson shot one from the dead corner, and it hit and went straight up and came right straight back down through the net for the game winner.
From the corner.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, from the corner.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Hey, Marty, this is Evan. Thank you so much for your time and calling in Red Blue Hoops, and congratulations on a great season. And
appreciate being on here, Evan.
I tell you what, you may know some guy named Keith Bratton.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you what he told me to do on the show.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I tell you what, he is known for his hijinks and that kind of stuff. But I want to touch a little bit on, because some of the listeners out there that are tuning in across the country may not know the history behind you, Marty. So your high school basketball career in Illinois was phenomenal.
A long time ago, Evan. I was very, very fortunate, very blessed. And I actually have a teammate of mine on our staff this year, Doug Nofsack, who was a year older than me. And I was very fortunate to play with him and other really, really good players. And we had probably the best coach in Illinois high school history. And we certainly had a lot of fun.
Was that Felling? Was that Ron?
Ron Felling.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Now, is it true you guys were undefeated your junior and senior years?
That's correct. We won 68 straight games, and that, as we speak today, is still the record for consecutive wins in the state of Illinois.
That is awesome.
That's pretty good.
And you were named Mr. Basketball in 83, correct?
That's correct.
Wow.
That took a lot of politicking from my high school coach, but somehow, some way, he got it done.
So, obviously you had tremendous senior leadership this year. And
oh, man.
And Iggy and Ballantyne. And you guys, I mean, what, rebounding phenom, right?
One of the best rebounders I've ever seen. I mean, just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you lead the country in anything, I mean, you look at the athletes, and the two teams you're talking about, Indiana and Kentucky. But, I mean, all across the country. And for Agidius to lead the nation in rebounding says a lot for his character. I mean, rebounding is a stat that, certainly, effort, desire, guts, heart. He goes after every rebound. He's got a little bit of Larry Bird in him.
Yeah.
But he really anticipates where the ball's going. So to do that is really, really incredible. You talked about Adam.
Glue guy.
Had a great career, football guy, tough guy, just does all the little things. And, guys like playing with him. They want to be on his team because he's such a competitor. And then DJ, here's the incredible thing on him. You look at the four top scorers in Missouri Valley Conference history. You got Hershey Hawkins, Oscar Robertson, Larry Bird. And then DJ's four. So
that's a pretty good list to be on.
Yeah, terrific career.
Wow. Well, okay, can you kind of look down the road a little bit and tell us what is coming up for the rest of the season for you and the Aces?
Well, we're praying, and we've got a lot of anticipation, anxiety. We brought our guys back today. We practiced today. We'll practice twice tomorrow and probably once Saturday. Excuse me, and then again Sunday, and then our hope is on Sunday evening after the NCAA selection show is that we'll get a bid to the NIT.
Yeah, I read an article today. It said that you guys were in as of right now, so hopefully everything plays out the way it should, and maybe we could see you in MSG in like 3 or 4 weeks. How cool would that be?
Well, I talked to some of the players about that today. I had good fortune when I was a sophomore at Indiana to play or to be on a team. I didn't actually play, but I was on a team at IU that went to the to the NIT championship. We got beat by Reggie Miller and Walt Hazard. Walt Hazard was the coach.
Yeah,
but it was, you know, for a young man from Marshville, Illinois, to get to go to Madison Square Garden, New York City, it was quite an experience.
God, that would be that'd be incredible. I'd love to see you guys. I think I thought too, from the NCAA standpoint, if you guys got in there, you could not only win one game, but depending on matchups, make a run. And I think you could do the same thing in the NIT. That would be huge.
Well, it would. I appreciate you saying that, but it would. I mean, our program, you know, we've fought hard, and we've had a lot of really good players and coaches, and a lot of people have invested, and you know, it's taken some time here, but you know, we actually had the opportunity to compete for a championship. This has been a great group. It's a team that's been together for 3 and 4 years. They've accomplished a lot of neat things.
I kind of feel like I might be the blame because I was over there Friday and Saturday, and you guys covered spreads and all that kind of stuff for us, and then I came back and I missed it. So maybe it was my fault, Marty. I apologize.
No, can't do that. I mean, it's hard to tell. You know, I mean, you're in that moment. You know, you're on CBS. We missed some shots early that we had hit against Indiana State.
That's right.
And really that we hit the second half. I mean, but again, when you get down like that, to see your guys grit their teeth and fight and claw and just how great the crowd was. I mean, they were outstanding. I mean, one play away from fulfilling a dream that, you know, a lot of these guys have had since they were young kids.
No kidding. And it's unbelievable to me, too, from UNI standpoint. That's must be a great matchup because three games decided by 7 points. That's just incredible. You don't see that a lot.
No. You know, Coach Jacobson, someone that I do have a friendship with and I got a lot of respect for, but teams are really similar. I mean, I think we're both, you know, high basketball IQ, you know, share the ball. We both scout and game plan very well. You know, they beat us all three times, and we very easily, I think, could have beat them three times.
Absolutely.
Didn't go our way.
Marty, do you have any insight or opinion? There's so much talk about the highest level in a long time of parity in college basketball. What's your position on that?
I would agree with that. You know, I think if you look at, you know, during the season, as many different number ones as we've had, I think the NCAA tournament will be as exciting or more exciting than it's ever been, and that says a lot because I think we say that each and every year.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of college basketball is the NCAA tournament, when you can have, you know, teams like Evansville, Northern Iowa, Wichita State, whatever the so-called mid-majors, have an opportunity to play against the BCS schools on neutral floors, with neutral officials, with so much on the line. And I just think that's what separates it from all other sporting events is what you just talked about, is the uniqueness and the parity that comes with the sport.
What do you think, thinking about the matchups or the teams you've played this year, Wichita State, you think they'll get in, or what's your thoughts on them? I like to see that for the Valley.
You know, it's tough when you start looking at the numbers. You know, their RPI is a little high, but their KenPom is 11. And
yeah,
I think when you give them the eye test, you know, some of the games they lost early, they didn't have Van Fleet, and he's a terrific player.
Yeah,
you look at the success that they've had in the tournament the last 4 or 5 years with those two players. It's hard to ignore that. I'm biased, and I'm certainly hopeful that they get in the NCAA tournament.
I hope they get in, too. I'll tell you what, though, when I come to Ford Center and you guys are playing them next year, I'll be happy to not see Ron Baker and Van Fleet, though. I'll tell you that.
That's what I think most people, and I know you know this, but our league has had some outstanding players.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Top 10 leagues. And I know, like, ESPN had one of the two, the first team All-American, and then there would be another publication that had Van Fleet. So you got a pair of guards in the league that we compete in that are both, you know, we're both preseason All-Americans.
Well, 2 years ago, Wichita State in the round of 32 hooked up with Kentucky in an 8-1 matchup.
That was a, yeah.
And all the experts say it was the best game of the tournament that year. And,
I mean, would agree with that.
It went down to the wire. I mean, it was a well-played game.
Klee Anthony early, I think, was a great player. And
yeah, early went nuts on UK that day.
And I think it was probably the year before, maybe two. I'm not sure. They all run together anymore. But you think back when Wichita had Louisville down 13 with about 10 minutes to go in the semifinal game.
Yeah.
And I believe Louisville brought a walk-on in off the bench, yeah, buried a three or two.
That's right.
The whole complexion of the game, and then they go on and win the national championship.
No, that's exactly right.
That is.
Yeah. Well, Marty, we really appreciate you taking the time to call into Red Blue Hoops. I think we've had two special guests this year. We've had you and Mike Pratt from UK, two basketball legends. So, again.
Well, I appreciate it. I very much. I appreciate all that you guys do for us and the University of Evansville and what we're trying to do. I really appreciate it.
Hey, absolutely. We appreciate everything you guys do. It's fun watching the team. And, Marty, Sean Bohinsky wanted me to tell you hi, too.
Great guy. Did everything for us when he was here.
Yeah.
Super fan, super family. I mean, just he represents what Evansville basketball is all about.
I agree.
Well, good luck the rest of the season, Marty. We'll be right behind you cheering for you.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Coach.
Good night.
See ya.
Well, that was fantastic. Again, we really appreciate his time.
Ton
I know
of
he's busy.
Here.
Oh, I mean, absolute legend.
He is. I think they called him the Mule. I forgot to ask
him
that.
It's the Mule, right? It is. And his buddy Keith Bratton, we play a lot of golf with Keith, and there was one particular day where Keith and I were taking on my son Walker and his son Adam in a match, and I didn't play too well for about 8 holes in a row, so I was riding Keith like a mule. So I call him the Pack Mule. But,
there you go.
We have a tweet question here from our former stand-in intern, Jim Gotze.
He's the man.
Question for Evan Beck is, what are your thoughts on Coach Cal's son committing to play for the Cats? Well, this was big news this week, folks. Huge news.
Shocking.
Kentucky has the number one recruiting class going into next season, but we had our biggest recruit land this week. Brad Calipari, who's been going to a prep school in the Northeast the last 2 years, committed to come to UK as a walk-on. And why is that such a big deal? I mean, he's not going to play. I mean, most likely
right.
not going to play at all.
Right.
Well, it's going to finally silence the people that every time an NBA job comes open, Cal's attached to it. Well, if Brad's playing for UK for 4 years, Cal's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know? And Cal said today he made a funny – I can't say exactly what he – well, I guess I could. Carl Towns' mom and dad called Cal this week excited about Brad coming to UK. And Cal said to his parents, he goes, well, I can promise you I won't be as hard on Brad as I was on Carl because I sleep with Brad's mother.
That's yeah.
That's like the boss, right?
That's right.
So, Jim, appreciate the tweet, but Brad Calipari, huge recruit for UK basketball in the future. I think we're going back to the phone lines. We have Lance from Atlanta. Lance, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good show tonight. I've been watching Kentucky basketball with a lot of intensity since I was 13 years old. The first game I remember watching was the 1975 National Championship game against UCLA that we lost. And I ran upstairs and cried when we lost.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of started a lifelong passion for me. But the question I have tonight is this. And after watching Kentucky basketball for 40 years, I got to say Tyler Ulis may be the best point guard to have ever played at Kentucky. I'm going to hang up and listen to what you guys say, but if you agree, tell me why. If you disagree, tell me why.
Sure.
And I'm including John Wall and Brandon Knight and people like that in that category.
That's a lot of good guards.
I'm saying Tyler Ulis, number one of all time, thus far at UK. So I'm going to hang up and listen.
That's awesome. Well, Lance, we very much appreciate the call and your support of Red Blue Hoops all the way from Atlanta, GA.
That's awesome.
Well, statistically, Tyler Ulis is having the greatest season of UK point guard. So he's only a sophomore. He's slight in size, but my goodness, he is the true definition of a floor general. And that was exposed at the highest level on the road. Calipari gets kicked out 2 minutes and 37 seconds into the game. And Coach Kenny Payne looks at Tyler and says, you run the offense, I'm coaching the defense.
I saw that.
A sophomore on the road. So,
and they won by 30, didn't they?
They rolled him. So I completely agree. I would not trade Tyler Ulis for any other point guard in UK history, including going back to like Kyle Macy. You know, back when Kyle Macy played, Chad, Kyle was the most popular name to name boys. You know, he was like a legend in Kentucky. And then going back before him, Ralph Beard. But then, you know, in recent memory, John Wall, everyone's put the stats side by side.
He's not even a better player, right?
He's just an absolute better player. I wouldn't trade him. So, tell you what, folks, we're wrapping through our second segment here. It's going fast. We had to go to break, and we'll come back for our third and last segment. Red Blue Hoops, go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368.
All right, basketball fans, welcome back to the final segment of Season 2 of Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN, the award-winning show. Chad and Walker and I are having so much fun tonight. We're going back to the phone lines. We have Alan from Bird's Eye.
He called last week.
All right, Alan, go ahead. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
Hey, guys. Sorry that I'm becoming a regular, but I'm kind of enjoying this show.
No.
We love it.
Yeah,
we absolutely love it.
Here's my thoughts, and, of course, I'm sorry there, Big Blue guy, but we're going back to the red side of things.
I like it.
No problem.
Tomorrow versus Michigan. My thought is, after Biafield struggled so much, had a 2-for-8 game on February 2nd, that he wakes up, he has something to prove to them guys that didn't think they needed him this year.
No kidding.
And in case you guys didn't catch this one, something that I noticed yesterday, he was voted sixth man of the year.
He was. Heck of a – yeah, good for him.
So, you know, all I can say is thank you, Wolverines, for letting him come on down to play.
I agree. We're going to send Coach Beeline a thank you card.
Yeah, exactly. He may get a Christmas card from me.
That's right. I agree.
One other thing to look for tomorrow is Yogi. As long as Yogi has 17 points or more, we're 16-1. And the bad thing about this whole tournament is, I don't know if anybody has looked at the numbers, but our record is not very pretty.
Yeah, we've never won the thing at all.
We're 11-18.
Man.
Ouch. Yeah. Never won the Big Ten tournament?
Never won a Big Ten tournament, nope.
Oh, boy.
I will jump off here and let you guys go because you had a great segment earlier, and I know that probably went on a little bit longer than it should have, but not on my account, just you guys and your time-wise. Enjoy you, and have a great rest of the evening.
No problem. Thanks a lot, Al. Appreciate the call. As far as his thoughts on the Michigan game, I agree. I think Max will come out ready to go. I think the team's going to be ready to go. And I think, again, Michigan's a bad matchup for Indiana. Or Indiana's a bad matchup for Michigan.
Oh, I think so. Michigan, I heard today, played terrible against Northwestern.
They're not. They're missing a lot. LeVert's hurt. They're just not the same team. IU by 12. Nostradamus.
Your boy Max got voted the largest calf muscles in the Big Ten.
He looks like a mule out there.
He's got pumpkins in his leg.
He does. It's crazy.
You know, something about that last call, and I'm sorry, Lance's call about Tyler Ulis made me think back to a story we were talking about off the air. A little soapbox moment for me here. But two summers ago, the beat writer from the Michigan State Spartans wrote an article that struck a nerve with UK fans. And that article was talking about Tyler Ulis when he committed to UK because Michigan State was recruiting Tyler out of Chicago, and as was Iowa, two Big Ten schools. So Tyler Ulis commits to UK. So this beat writer takes upon himself to stand on the little soapbox of his own and says that Tyler Ulis made a grave mistake going to UK. He said he was going to be recruited over and that he would have had a much better career at Michigan State or Iowa. So what's that guy saying now? First team All-American at UK, all-time best point guard in UK history.
He's eating his words on that one, I think.
From what I understand, the UK fans have found that guy.
Oh, no.
On social media.
He's in trouble.
he's like crying. Back to the phone lines, we have Ben from the ATL. Ben, welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Doing great. Good. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. You know, one thing I enjoy about Kentucky and Indiana both is the emphasis they put on not just Final Fours, but national titles.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this tournament this week, it's nice and fun, but you know, next week is the big one. So I was looking up. I've learned over the years the people that know the best are the people in Las Vegas, people that set the odds.
Oh yeah.
I thought it'd be interesting to check out the odds to win the national title, and let me know if you guys think this is surprising. But Kentucky is fourth biggest favorite to win at 11-1 odds.
Wow.
And Indiana fell down to they're the 24th favorite at 45-1 odds. And considering that Indiana is ranked higher than Kentucky, I thought that was a little shocking. So you guys think that is something that, you know, we don't, or what?
That's a great observation.
It is. I'll be in Vegas next week. I will take the Hoosiers. I'm loading up. I didn't realize it was that high. That's crazy.
What, hey Ben, do you know when they fell? Was that this week or last week, or what happened?
I mean, the odds that I looked up, when was that released, or?
Yeah.
That was as of last week, this past weekend.
Okay.
Well, on that, I mean, Indiana's tenure with Crean has not been good in the tournament, and on the flip side, Kentucky's, they make the Final Four. Yeah. How many Final Fours in 9 years?
Cal Perry in the last 10 seasons has been in the tournament 9 times, 5 Final Fours.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, those guys, they know.
And plus, Scal of BCA all of a sudden has arrived. So, well, Ben, that's a great observation.
Yeah.
You have anything else for us tonight?
I do not. You guys have a good night. Enjoy the show.
Hey, thanks for the info.
Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. Man, I did not know that. Fourth favorite, huh?
I'm loading up on them.
Vegas 45-1.
There's a reason why those casinos are so nice, though.
They've got big buildings. They've got bright lights.
They do. They do.
And they comp you dinners.
They will.
That means they're making a lot of money.
They do okay. Yeah.
If someone's comping you something, they're making money.
They're doing all
right. You're in the sales business.
You're exactly right. That's a good point.
Wow. My goodness, it's already 6:40. It's almost 6:48.
We could just do this for two more hours.
Let's go. Can we just keep going, guys, back there behind the glass?
Thumbs up. Oh, thumbs down.
Thumbs down. Okay. Well, tell you what, we've touched on the conference tournaments a little bit. Why don't you take a moment to give us a rundown in your bracket of the Big Ten tournament?
So far today, Illinois beat Iowa. That was pretty shocking. So Iowa will play Purdue tomorrow. Or Illinois will play Purdue tomorrow.
All right.
And then Indiana will actually play Michigan tomorrow.
That's the first game of the slate, right?
That's the first game. Oh, and wow, Penn State and Ohio State, that game is totally flipped. Earlier, Ohio State was down 10. They are currently up 6. So tomorrow's got Michigan and Indiana early. It'll be a nice 11 o'clock game.
So that means the work production state of Indiana is going to be really low tomorrow.
It's going to be low tomorrow.
Bars be full.
You're right. Illinois, Purdue afterwards, and then potentially you got Michigan State tomorrow night playing the winner of Ohio State, Penn State, and then Maryland playing the winner of Wisconsin, Nebraska. So to handicap it just real quick, I'm going to be a homer, and I'm going to say IU is going to run to the championship and probably play Michigan State. And my take on that is the winner of that game should be a number one seed. Somebody have to sell me very hard to go the other way on that.
Nah,
so we'll see.
Nah, I can't argue with that. I mean, Indiana's playing really well.
They are. They're just playing good.
They're tighter. When I mean tighter, they more attention to detail consistently through the games. Well,
that's
what
right.
I mean by that. And you guys defensively the last 30 days have really improved.
I've very, very rare I've seen a total improvement like they have. Flip.
I can't remember a team in a Power 5 conference that loses a player loading up 20 points a game and they get better.
I always wondered what the term that says addition by subtraction.
That's
I always wondered what that meant, and that's Indiana this year.
Those Indiana guys, you know, they keep all the stats about the efficiency ratio, the plus minus, and you guys, unfortunately, Blackman's knee injury, but, man, you guys are better.
So. I just got a text message. I got to read this real quick.
You do it. Fire away.
Yeah.
We're text friendly.
Vegas still has Wichita State as 40-1 odds to win the national championship.
Better than IU.
Better than IU, and they're on the bubble. Man, that's an intriguing one there, isn't it?
Vegas, I tell you what, kind of weird stuff. I tell you what, well, the SEC tournament, we've touched on a little bit.
Yeah.
We play the winner of the Alabama-Ole Miss game, which is going on right now, and that tips off tomorrow night, 6 Central in Nashville. Can't wait to get down there and cheer on the Cats. And right now we have Alabama up 4 on Ole Miss right at half, so looking forward to that. And then it's interesting – we ended up sharing the conference title with A&M, and we ended up a 2-seed because we lost at A&M due to that crazy technical
Pat Adams,
who threw out a play-by-play radio guy this week from a college game, first time in history. The guy has problems, obviously, and he's still roughing games.
He is.
But the fact we got a 2 seed, we got a favorable bracket in Nashville. All the teams that beat us this season are on the other side of the bracket. So we're like, this is awesome. So happy about that. One little tidbit for our listeners out there. For the first time in college basketball history, every team that will play in the tournament this year has at least 4 losses. That, I think, also points to parity
that
we were talking about with Coach Marty Simmons earlier.
That's right.
That's pretty fascinating in my book. But a couple just random stats I want to rattle off for the Kentucky fans out there. Tyler Ulis and Jamal Murray finished the conference season as the top scoring duo in the country at 41 points per game. That's lethal.
It's getting it done.
And the tournament, folks, in the last decade or so has become a guard-dominated tournament. In fact, we've lost 2 Final Fours in the past 6 years to guard-dominant teams. UConn, Kemba Walker in 2011, beat us in Houston.
Shabazz.
2 years ago, Shabazz Napier and Boatwright beat us in the final game.
They did.
So this year, folks, we're going into the tournament with the best guard duo in the country.
Yeah.
And probably the best guard duo in UK history. For sure in my lifetime. I mean, there's no question about it. So if our bigs can provide a little consistency like they did the last 2 games, we're dangerous. We are dangerous.
11-1
11-1 odds.
That's
Vegas,
interesting.
So.
Yeah.
But we've touched on some other awards earlier in the conference, but Ulis has been getting some national attention. He got Sporting News first-team All-American, Jamal Murray freshman All-American. So these guys are starting to get some recognition. I mentioned off the air to you, Chad, earlier, I was into Rupp early last Saturday. I wanted to see up close and personal Ben Simmons go through an hour's worth of drills and see some of the Kentucky players do the same. I was not impressed with his attitude on the court.
I've been tired of hearing about it all year.
And check
year.
This out. I mean, that was an important – maybe it wasn't important, but there's 22 scouts there that day. He's probably going to still be the 1 or 2 pick in the draft, but, man, he just, in my opinion, laid an egg that day. And for him to get outplayed by Scalabissier, who's been missing the entire season, Ben Simmons had 17 points, but he had 6 turnovers against Kentucky. So, and I heard – Antonio Blakeney, their 2-guard, reported that the locker room after the Kentucky loss was pretty bad. A lot of arguing and yelling and finger pointing. So that team is just falling apart.
Yeah, they're
they may get clipped tomorrow by Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee's hot right now down in Nashville. So
yeah.
Anyway, you have any other tidbits for IU going into tomorrow's game or the rest of the tournament you want to share with us?
I'm just looking forward to it.
I'm jacked up. To start right now.
Everything feels different with Indiana. I see them and I'm like, they're just good. You know, they're playing hard. They're playing well, playing together. They get along well. There's just a lot of depth there and a lot of cohesiveness. It's fun to watch and they're getting it done. And now for Crean folks, you know, for him, he needs to close one out even further now. Not so much the Big Ten tournament, but
he needs to
make that run.
Like I said, it's time for validation
it
for
is.
Tom Crean.
It is.
For IU. But but it's good to see him get the recognition. You know, Cal Perry was the first one I heard nationally come out and say Crean deserved National Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
He said that 2 weeks ago. So a couple other little tidbits. You know, something I observed at the LSU game last week. Now, granted, I want to give a caveat. LSU's not the best defensive team, but last week with Scalabissier hitting those jumpers so smooth from the elbow and beyond, then we had Derek Willis come back from that ankle injury. And what I could see from where I was sitting, that court was so open. It looked like an NBA team out there. And then that's why Ulis had 14 assists. He was carving them up. So getting Willis back in is a big deal for us going into the tournament.
So you guys, would you say you're about as healthy as you've been all year?
Yes.
How does that work?
Absolutely. And we've been a banged-up team. We haven't had any, knock on wood, season injury losses like you guys have with Blackman, but you guys lost Johnson. But I think Cal Perry's had 11 different starting lineups this year, and that's due to us being so banged up. We're going back to the phone lines. It could be our last call of the season.
It could be.
Jim from Evansville. Jim, welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
What's up, Irv?
Hey, what's up, Jim Gotze?
What's going on?
Dad, how you doing?
I'm well, Jim. How are you?
This is appropriate. You're going to be our last call of the season.
You know, I've really been enjoying this show this year, especially since you had me in the studio for, you know, those shows while Walk was doing his driving test.
That's right.
But, yeah, no, it's been a great year again. Chad, well done standing in for Ben.
Thank you. I appreciate
and
that.
I just, you know, to send it off, I just want to say, go Cats. They're going to dominate in Nashville and then run right on through.
All right.
He's
I like that prediction.
Shot.
I'm sorry, calling him Jimmy Vegas.
There you go.
I like
it. Hey, Goss, did you hear Ben from Atlanta calling with those Vegas odds a minute ago?
I did. I was looking them up as well. Everybody has them at the fourth highest seed or fourth highest odds.
Okay, can you tell me who's above them?
Michigan State.
Kansas, probably.
I got to go.
Kansas.
Back. Yeah, Kansas.
And North Carolina.
I think it was Villanova.
No. I'm not scared. Vegas? I don't know.
They know stuff, but.
Well, Jimmy, anything else for us on Red Blue Hoops?
Nope, that's all I had for you, boys.
Man, thank you so much. And also, hey, we all appreciate your time you dedicated to the show this year. Really appreciate it.
No kidding.
I appreciate it, and have fun in Nashville.
All right, man. See ya.
See you, Jim.
All right, see you, boys.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks. We're down to our last minute 15 on the air. So, let's do a little closeout here. It's been an awesome show this season. Spending time with you, Chad, getting to know you. What I call a great Indiana fan. Not all of them are. All right?
Yeah.
I'm able to say that, but I have a tremendous amount of respect for you and how you've carried yourself on the show. You're very knowledgeable and passionate, level-headed, objective. And one of these days, maybe next year, we'll get together and watch a game together.
Ooh, I'd love
to. Guys have been scared to do that, but I'd love to do that sometime, you know, sit back, watch a little college basketball.
Talk some hoops.
There's Samantha running back there, looking wild. But it's been a great season. Looking forward to the conference tournaments this weekend.
Very exciting.
You know, it's TV time. You know, get glued to it. And Walker, thank you for your internship this year. Everyone behind the glass back there. Burger's not here tonight.
Thank
we got
you
Dan
all.
The man. We got Maria. We got Samantha. Thank you guys. Hey, to our listeners, the most important people out there. Thank you for all your support this season. Your phone calls, your tweets. You are why this show's been successful. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Red Blue Hoops. Thank you. We're out.
Support comes from Nicholson, McNamara, and Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. More information at 1-800-362-1368. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel with producer Steve Berger, technical director Samantha Horton, and Walker Beck handling social media. Thanks for listening. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN, its board of directors, or staff. Or, for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, Notre Dame fans, Louisville fans, USI fans, and certainly not Duke fans.